give the initial welcome of our speaker today, Pastor Bernard Ondieck from Kenya. Bernard is, I guess we would call him a premier missionary, perhaps, but a servant of God in the truest sense of the term. It's been our honor to have supported Bernard for several years now, and we're always delighted when he's back in the States and can come and preach to us. Bernard is so engaged in ministry that it puts me to shame. His involvement with church planting, orphanage, Christian day school, theological seminary, foster kids in his own home. Bernard has a heart that's way bigger than anything we can imagine. But I'm first going to invite Gordon Daum to come because Gordon represents Partners in Evangelism, the organization that sponsors Bernard. And tell us about Bernard's work as well as a book that is available for you.
I never stand in this pulpit without starting out by saying that on the 1st November of 1956, I was found Christ as my Savior at Oakwood Bible Church. And the first screen was Welcome to Your Home Church. And I always feel very, very much like this is my home church when I come back. Oakwood was a great church back in the 50s and 60s when I grew up here.
Still is.
And it still is. I was going to say that. I wasn't just going to. That was my next thought. And praise God that it has been ever since, or all through these years. And I'm looking and seeing about half a dozen people who knew me back then who have almost a similar testimony that they were saved at this church even back 50 and 60 years ago. The significant thing about that, other than my salvation, is that I was led to the Lord by the missionary from this church named Leonard Brain, who was a missionary to Kenya, or not Kenya, to Angola in Africa. And you've supported his son, Bob, and I think you supported his son, Caleb. Yeah, I knew it started with a C, couldn't come up with it. Since then, because I was led to the Lord by an African missionary, God has always given me an interest in Africa. I thought that meant I was going to be a career missionary in Africa. It didn't work out that way. But I've been to Africa many, many times, many, many different countries. And one of those times, I met Bernard. And a couple years later, he came to the States to further his education. He came to stay with us for Christmas vacation, and I called up Pastor Steve and said, "You got to hear this guy. He's a good speaker." And this church responded very positively to his message, took on his support, and you've supported him for, I'm going to say, about 10 years. Thank you very much for that. The last thing I want to say is we have set up a table in the lobby there, and there's three things you can do. You can pick up one of his prayer cards. Our goal is to have a prayer card on every fridge in America. He doesn't get that. He doesn't understand what that's an American thing. He doesn't even have a fridge. But we encourage everyone to take a prayer card. You also can sign up for his newsletter. And the third thing is that his biography, which was written from his childhood, his conversion, up through his early ministry, there's an escape from a tribal warfare in there and all kinds of, it's a great book. It's very interesting. We're selling that book for $12. The book is paid for. The $12 is pure profit. And think of it this way. Read a book and enjoy that. You can feed an orphan in his orphan school for a month. Or you can educate an orphan for a month. Or you can buy two books and you can feed and educate that orphan for a whole month. That's the way we're... Okay, so I'm the marketer and I'm done. And so we encourage you to visit the table, and this Bernard will be there. You can speak to him as well. So Bernard Ondieck, my friend, my best friend in all of Africa, come and minister to your supporting church here.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. I know that is a little bit. In Africa, I would not start preaching by saying praise the Lord and believer says amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good. I'm now happy. I am very happy to come to minister to you today in this church. And Before I continue, I want to sincerely bring the greetings of my family to you this morning. I talked to my wife, Pamela, in the morning, and my kids, and they really send a lot of greetings to you all. And they love you, though they have not seen you. And they know that you are supporting us in Kenya to do the ministry there. And therefore, we are really thrilled of the love that you've really shown us in this church in Kenya. I thank Gordon for God allowing him to allow this time to meet the people in the church here, and the pastor for really opening a space in your heart and just fix me in there. Thank you very much for all you've done to me for about 13 years ago when I came here, when Gordon brought me here and met the pastor, and we really sealed this relationship. And I pray that this relationship will continue. As Gordon said, and as Pastor said, I'm doing a ministry in Kenya. I came to Columbia International University in South Carolina, and I graduated there. And you know how this beautiful country is. And my heart sometimes said, why don't I stay? And then when my wife came for the graduation, after the graduation one day evening, I said, I want to continue with my education. And then she said, let's go home. We must go home. And then we started to pack. And we left to do the ministry in Kenya. And you followed us with your prayers. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. I want to tell you that in Kenya, I teach in the Bible College, and we feed about 820 orphans. We plant churches, and we are busy with God's work. And we believe that without your prayer, we cannot do it as we are doing it now. Therefore, feeding 820 orphans is not easy. Teaching at the Bible school, training pastors to go in the ministry to do the work of the Lord is not very easy. The devil will never stop bringing barriers so that we don't do it. But we thank God that through all the difficulties, we have continued to do that. And therefore, today, I want to remind you of some three important things. One thing that I want to tell you, do you know that in this world today we have 143 million orphans in the world today? And after every 4 seconds, children are left orphaned. Most of them go to the street, homeless, without food, without clothes. And if they get food, they get it from the trash. They sleep in the colds. If they don't get it, they steal. And if they steal, they are caught, they are arrested and beaten and killed. They suffer. Today, I want to speak to you about how to rise above hopelessness. How can you make somebody arise above hopelessness? Let's read from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. The Bible says, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Let me repeat it again. But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. The book of Ezekiel chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1 and maybe up to verse 5. Let's read together the word of God. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Every time I live in my country, in my village, I see the struggle and the lives of people being discouraged, hopeless in life. People cry and have no hope at all. I live in a society where people are really struggling of what are we going to eat tomorrow, or what are we going to put on in our lives? Will our children go to school or not? I see people cry of death every time. The father is dead, the mother is dead, and everybody is hopeless in this family. Nobody is there to take care of them. The question that I ask is, how can we let these people rise above hopelessness? The word of God is telling us in the book of Exodus chapter 9 that there is a purpose why God had created each and every individual of us in this world. He is talking to Pharaoh. He's telling Pharaoh, I know that you are a powerful king, but it is not because of you. I raised you up because there is a purpose. And the purpose is, Pharaoh, you better leave my people go. And Pharaoh is not because of the military man and the powerful man you are. I raised you up so that my power would be known around the world. And that my name will be spread all over the world. Pharaoh, understand this. Church, there is a purpose why God has put us here today. There's a purpose for every woman and man, every young youth, female and male, why we are existing today. God has a purpose for us. And the purpose is to make his people rise above hopelessness. Make them know that he is God who cares, who understands, who is compassionate to each and every individual. And this is why he called Ezekiel. From the book of Ezekiel, we have read already. The Bible tells Ezekiel, Ezekiel, stand up on your feet. I want to speak to you. Number one thing, if you want to make God's people rise above hopelessness, you must stand up on your feet. God wants me and you to stand up on my feet. God will never speak to us when we sit down where we are. The standing up here in the book of Ezekiel is not literal. It is a figurative. It talks about how can your faith be still before the Lord. God once speaks to his people who have already stood up on their faith and wants to know who God is. Men of God, when we sit down, we cannot see far. We cannot see beyond. We cannot look above. We cannot think big. When we are in our comfort zone, we cannot understand what God wants us to know, what God wants us to see, how God wants us to think. That's why God is speaking to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I will not talk to you when you are still sitting there. You must stand up on your faith. I want to talk to you. I want to see it. I want to show you something big. I want to show you something huge. Stand up, Ezekiel. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1, 60 verse 1, the Bible says, arise, arise, and shine. When we stand, when we arise, we will shine before the Lord, and we will do the greater things for the Lord. There's something wrong somewhere, Ezekiel. I want to show it to you. And you cannot see it when you sit down. Stand, Ezekiel. I want to talk to you. It doesn't matter who you are. What matters to me is I want you to stand and I want to show you something. Men of God, we have to stand up on our faith, so that we can see by faith what God wants us to do for him. God wants us to stand up. People are dying, Ezekiel, stand up. Children are going without food, Ezekiel, stand up. Ezekiel, can you see that? Are you able to see that, Ezekiel? How is your faith? Is your faith strong, Ezekiel? Come up. I want to speak to you. God starts to speak to us when our faith is so strong that it can tell us so strong things that sometimes we think is difficult that we cannot do. That is so hard that we cannot do. When the man David was still sitting in his father's house, when he was there enjoying the properties of his father, taking care of his father's sheep, he did not understand the suffering of the Israelites, his people. But one day, David stood up and went to the field where the Israelites were killed like grasshoppers. And he saw the man Goliath coming with power, killing the Israelites. And the Israelites were running all over the valley. And Ezekiel stepped out, David stepped out. And David asked these questions. What will happen to the man who will kill this man? And he was told, he will be given the daughter of the king to marry. David did not go for marrying the king of the daughter, But he was motivated only to go and save the hopeless people of Israel. And he went and he killed Goliath. He stood up in his faith and he said, "You are coming to me by the power of your weapons, but I'm coming to you by faith, by the power of the Lord." That is how we can save people from hopelessness. And after that, we learn of how Israelites were very happy and they enjoyed and they could sing songs of praise to David. "You've killed thousands and thousands," and Saul had killed only 1,000. And that was the end of the hopelessness of the Israelites. Can you remember Nehemiah? When he asked just a small question, he was in the king's palace, in a comfort zone, enjoying all the things and the luxuries of the Israel, or of the king's palace. And he asked, "How are our people doing in Jerusalem?" And he was told, "Oh, people in Jerusalem are suffering. They are living in coals. Jerusalem wall is completely broken. It is, people are hopelessness." And he stood up on his faith and he prayed, cried and fasted. And he stood up and went to the king. He asked the king, "Give me chance to go and repair the wall of my people." If we cannot stand, we cannot do it. If we cannot stand, we cannot go. Ezekiel, stand up on your faith. I want to talk to you. Can you remember Esther? When the message came to her, and the message is, all the Israelites, the decree has been made that they are all going to be killed. And Mordecai, the anchor, is sending the message, is telling Esther, "Esther, do you remember? Do you have the purpose why you are taken to the king's palace? Are you forgetting? And even if all the Israelites are killed, Esther, are you going to remain?" Then Esther said, "Tell Mordecai that I will stand on my faith. And let people pray and worship and fast. I will go to the king. Even if I die, I will die." And that was the end of the hopelessness of the Israelites. Church, can we make people rise above hopelessness by standing on our faith and saying, "God, I will. God, I will." Number two, if you want to make people rise above hopelessness, where you are, in your village, in your neighborhood, there are people who are hopelessness everywhere in the world. They need us. We must listen to God. We must listen to God. Church, you know, the most difficult thing is to listen to God. This is what Ezekiel said. "I listened to God when he spoke to me." I listened to him. I heard him talking to me. You know, this is the difficult part of the church. Sometimes we don't listen. We don't listen. God speaks to us something so simple, but we don't listen. You know, there's a day that I had God speaking to me. When I was coming to United States here, and my uncle died a month before, and I took the message to my wife, and I told my wife that I cannot go to the United States right now. Whatever happens, I can't. But my wife looked at me, stood up where she sat down and said, "Bernard, if you cannot take the step of faith now, what will you teach people about faith?" I thought she was going to say, it's all right, we can stay home. But this is a lady with a six months old girl. And I'm going to United States where I did not know whether I would come back. But she's telling me, if you cannot take a step of faith now, what will you tell people about faith? I realized right away that not her speaking, it's God. You know, God can speak to us through many ways. Can speak to you through your husband, your wife, your child, your pastor. But do you listen? Do you listen to God? This is the problem we have. So many Christians do not listen to God when God speaks. You know, life is categorized in three categories. Number one, life is from age 1 to 25. In America, the lifespan is large. In Africa, the lifespan has gone down, really. But God can speak to you from age 1 to age 25. And when God speaks to you, say, oh God, you know, in this age I'm still growing and I want to go to school, God. You know, I want to marry. In age 25, you are ready to, you finish your school, you are married, and now things are okay. From age 26 to age 50, the Lord is still wants to speak to you, and you still say, you know, God, this is the time that I want to educate my children, and I want to buy a house, I want to make money, I want to live a good life. Therefore, God, please press your brake a little bit now. Don't try to tell me that. I'm still busy. And God says, okay, I'm waiting for you. Time is coming. Now from age 51 and over, you've done maybe what you wanted to do. You have done. Now God wants to speak to you again. He wants to remind you. Did I talk to you when you were age 10 or 15 or 21 and you said, Lord, wait a little bit. I did. And age 26 to age 20, 50, and I talked to you about something so vital, something very important. Did you listen to me? And now what are you telling me? That is how we behave. God wants us to listen to him when he speaks. God wants us to keep our ears alert. When he speaks to us through his word, and when he speaks to us through the people. You know, that is what Samuel already missed. Because God was speaking to him, and he didn't listen to the voice of God. He went to Eli, who had already backslided. Do we listen to God's word, God speaking to us? What is that God told you to do? In your age 1 to 25, which you did not do. Age 26 to 50, which you do not do. That now you have expanded in age. And you still have not done it yet. Something that you'll be proud of when you sit down and say, yes, I did it. Yes, I did it. Yes, God, now I'm happy. You know, so many of us, church, let me tell you, in Africa or everywhere, after the end that we think that we could have not done any time God wanted us to do them, and now the time has come that you can do them, you become very hopeless. You become very, very hopeless. God wants us to make people rise above hopelessness. And it is only by standing up on our faith and by listening to God. Number three. We can make people rise above hopelessness by going. Go, 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 go. The Bible tells us that God is telling Ezekiel, Ezekiel, go. It is time for you to go. I know it is very hard, Ezekiel, but you must go. I know you are sick, Ezekiel, but you must go. I know you are young, Ezekiel, but you must go. I know you are old, Ezekiel, go. Go. I know it is difficult to go there. They are rebellious people. They are children who have no food. You are going to feed them. This is what God talked to me about. And it was a direct call of go. Go do it. Church, we cannot and we will not see people rise above hopelessness if we don't stand up on our faith, listen to God speaking to us, and accept to go. When you are called, stand up on your faith. God doesn't care how old are you, whether young or old. He still wants you to go. Just hold a hand of somebody and say, God loves you. He cares. He's compassionate. Either in the neighborhood or somewhere in the city, somewhere on the world. Go. Ezekiel, I know it's hard. They're rebellious. They're difficult. It is very heavy. It is going to cost you something. Maybe your life. But Ezekiel, go. Go. There's a man who wrote a song. I will sing it in English and in Kiswahili, just briefly. When he calls me, I will answer him. When he calls me, I will answer him. I'll be somewhere working for my Lord. I'll be somewhere working for my Lord. When he sends me, I will go for him. When he sends me, I will go for him. I'll be somewhere working for my Lord. I'll be somewhere working for my Lord. Akinita nitaitika. Akinita nitaitika. Nitafanya kazi, kazi ya Mungu. Nitafanya kazi, kazi ya Mungu. May God bless this church. May God uphold you with your husbands and wives, children and grandchildren. Stand up on your faith. Listen to God. Go. Go. Thank you.